This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We led off the show talking about it's an important day in the world of college football slash NFL.
Right.
Because some players, and we're talking Clemson obviously here, need to make their decision today. And, of course, we got the Chase Bryce information yesterday. Transfer portal, a very talented quarterback. He's got 2 years of eligibility, and he will help somebody somewhere.
Yeah, just checking here. Don't see any declarations as of yet of players in the 7 o'clock hour that, you know, wanted to release a statement of note in the ACC. Let's put it that way here on the final day. So there we go.
Pay attention, though. That'll be head on swivel. News story today.
We will recap a busy night in ACC women's basketball, by the way. A couple of really interesting games here on the network last night.
How about NC State wearing out Florida State?
Melissa Kanane went crazy again. Ace Kotick was sensational from the perimeter. Wes Moore's team, I mean, a 17-point win over Florida State.
And that was a showdown, 9 versus 13. Those are two big-time programs, and NC State got it done last night.
Janelle Bailey led North Carolina to a big win last night, double-double over Miami.
That was a tight game, fourth quarter.
It was.
North Carolina outscored them 28-10, fourth quarter. Pull away.
Clemson beats Pittsburgh in overtime last night.
How about Notre Dame? Now we ran the clip the other day of Muffet.
Yeah.
And she just was so emotional trying to figure out how to figure that this thing out. Again, this game was on last night. And they were in control for the most part. And all of a sudden, it gets away from them in the fourth quarter. And they lose it. Notre Dame is now 1-5 in league play.
Yeah.
1-5.
Louisville won at BC by 11.
So good.
They keep rolling.
Jeff Falls getting it done.
Coach Hoover in Wake Forest won 62-56
They're
against
hot.
Virginia.
Yep. Deeks are hot. They're playing well.
Playing well.
And you mentioned Georgia Tech.
Get a nail yeah for you.
She was with us earlier this week.
Apparently she'll be back after winning. Road win and dominated.
Yeah.
Carson, a huge night. They win by 18 at Syracuse.
Coach Q, man, what's going on with that?
I don't know, but Nell Fortner's the story of the year so far. And I thought, by the way, Alana Beard and the group on All ACC following the Duke-Notre Dame game last night, Monica McNutt talked about it as well. Nell Fortner's energy has taken a group of players who were fairly talented in the previous administration, but Nell Fortner's energy and enthusiasm in the way she coaches may be as responsible for Georgia Tech's transformation as anything else.
Well, if you just watched our interview with her yesterday, I mean, she's just absolutely vivacious, man. She's got it's just going on when she comes walking in the room. You got to keep an eye on what's going on there. So you look at the standings, Louisville 6-0, right? You got NC State doing their thing. They were tied with Georgia Tech, as you mentioned, kind of a surprise story at 5-1. Florida State sitting there at 4-3. North Carolina Wake are 4-2. You know, we had a Barker Bite the other day about what would be a more competitive race, the men's side or the women's side. And I told you I thought the women's side would be more compelling coming down the stretch. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, the tournament's in Greensboro, a week ahead of the men. Hopefully we'll get to spend a couple of days up there to kind of lay the land for you.
Easy trip.
Yep. Be fun for us
There's
to do.
There's barbecue up there, too, from under here. Oh, those good old days. That's an inside joke. All right.
You want to get to calls?
Let's do some calls. 844-SAY-ACCN. Certainly a friend of the show. Robin the Duke fan joins us. Robin, good morning.
Hey, Pack. How the heck are you there, Wes? Good to talk to you again there, brother. I've been a little bit out of service with the flu there back in right there at New Year's and everything. And so we just we're trying to get over it. I've been having it for about 2 weeks. So and everything like that, you know. So but I just wanna say about the mighty Blue Devils, I tell you what, Pack. They have as good a chance as anybody is winning out, winning the, you know, the ACC. Now, you are talking about the ACC, tournament and also the regular season, are you? Is that correct?
We are. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guarantee you one thing. I got two games on my schedule, on my calendar I'm looking at right now, and that's the game against Florida State and the game tomorrow night against Louisville, and they will, you know, I think once they get past those two games, you can put the ACC championship over there in Durham and the regular season.
Hey, Robin, Robin, you know, for years and years and years I've known you, I am stunned that you did not mention the light shade of blue on your schedule. It's almost like you've just bypassed North Carolina. Is that right?
Well, I guarantee you one thing. You're exactly right. I guarantee you one thing, Pac and Wes. We don't have to worry about one team winning. That would be the Tar Heels over our Chapel Hill. You know, winning out or whatever. I tell you what, we don't have to worry about them this year.
I'm just going to say one thing, Robin, hear me out. And you can mock me all you want with all the medication that you're currently on. But I'm just going to tell you, I don't know what's going to happen with North Carolina. I don't know what's going to happen with Cole Anthony. But you know what? Yeah. I have seen this way too many times. Every single time you get a Duke-North Carolina basketball game, and if one's having a great year and the other one's down, it's funny how this works. But the guy that's down always plays with his hair on fire at least one time when they hook up. And so I would just warn you in the middle of January, while you're having fun putting dirt on North Carolina's grave, just be careful. That's all I'm going to tell you. Be careful.
Okay. I'll keep that
in mind. I'm going to add this because I know the game's not until February the 8th, but I'll add this. February 8th, according to cryptic Instagram messages from Cole Anthony yesterday, Pac, it apparently, I mean, he put something on Instagram.
I missed it. Can't wait to be back. Instagram guy.
Well, I know. Can't wait to be back with my guys type thing. You start sorting out the calendar. There it is. Cole Anthony. And then the message at the top is, can't wait to be back with my guys. And you see all the comments and so on and so forth. Cole Anthony would be 4 to 6 weeks. He might play Boston College February 1, somewhere along in there, but would be maybe on the floor February 8 when they play Duke. And I'm not saying Cole Anthony's the lynch. That's far. Carolina's got a lot of other things they got to worry about than getting him on the floor.
No question.
But it'd be interesting. How many times you want to see the Jeff Capel half-court shot? That was undermanned Duke.
The reason that was undermanned Duke is so great is just when you think you've got it figured out and somebody comes rolling in there having a better year than the other guy, strap it on real tight because you are in for a crazy ride. It's why Duke and North Carolina are so fantastic when they play each other. But we will worry about that one later.
All right.
Because Duke-Louisville tomorrow night is going to be out of sight.
How about Sam in North Carolina? Want to tackle that one next?
Let's do it.
All right. Sam, you're on. How are you, sir?
Good morning and Happy New Year, guys.
Same.
Thanks, sir.
I was in the old barn last night watching the women play, and I was really impressed with Lisa Cunane. She knows how to get position on deep in the block, and Wes Moore can coach those girls up. He has done such a great job rebuilding that program to heights that we hadn't seen in a while. Also, I did want to mention to you that I think one of your road shows should be February 13th and take it to Reynolds Coliseum, because that night Louisville comes to town and plays the Wolfpack.
Wow.
And that would be great on the road for Packer and Durham. And the other thing I wanted to mention is I hope Dave Dorn is on the phone to Chase Bryce. And I just want to tell you, I always enjoy the show and always talking with you, and I appreciate y'all always taking my call. Thank you.
Thanks, you're very kind. Thank you for calling.
Chase Bryce could definitely help Dave.
There's
Dorn.
A lot to take in right there. February 13th. February 13th.
That's kind of a Valentine's special, isn't it?
It's a Thursday. You'd be okay with a Thursday up there?
Hey, I don't make the calls. I'm just trying to get us to the Derby.
You're working on May 1?
I'm working on May 1. I've fast-forwarded. I know what's happening in March.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to be busy in March.
Yeah, sure.
But the key is the Derby.
Right.
That's out of the box, slow time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We got an ACC town.
Right.
Wants to welcome us with open arms. We're ready to go.
Yeah. Okay.
Derby time.
Other news of the night, by the way, Justin Fuente, we told you yesterday, actually during the show, he tweeted out that he was going to stay at Virginia Tech. David Teal was with us earlier in hour one, to talk about the details of a weird 48 hours, right? I mean, Baylor comes to him, and now, by the way, reportedly Baylor has hired LSU defensive coordinator Dave Aranda.
Which I think is a really good hire.
Right. But Justin Fuente, according to Pete Thamel, Tuesday night was the leading candidate.
Is there anybody left in Baton Rouge, by the way? You're talking about a crazy week.
Yeah, you win a national title on Monday night. Your OC's gone. One of your OC's is gone Tuesday at noon, basically.
You lose seven or eight guys. You got guys getting paid to middle of the field. You got cops looking for arrestees of former stars. I mean, it just means more, I guess. Good grief. What's
right,
going on with that
week? We're
going
to take a break.
You worried about something?
No, it's all good.
Man.
Just looking to get to show 200.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
For everybody keeping score at home, Amir Sims is coming up here in moments. Leonard Hamilton coming up in about 15 minutes. Head basketball coach at Florida State. He's got the Noles playing great. And, of course, Amir Sims and the Tigers have been on a crazy run, Wes, and I think you got to take some responsibility for it because it started when you were doing the game against NC State and Louisville.
That's very kind of you. I'm not sure that has a lot to do with it. Let's dial up the Tiger cam. Amir Sims joins us. you just told us during the break you get up early in the morning anyway, so this is no big deal?
Yes, sir. Usually I like to come in before class at 9:05 and get shots up around 8, at least 100 to 150 every day, just so I can get my mental reps in and seeing the ball go through the net before we play our next opponent.
Speaking of ball going through the net, I just told Wes I gave him credit for doing the game when you guys took on NC State, which seems like years ago. But, man, you guys have been on an amazing run. What has been the difference?
We had a different mentality when we got back from Christmas break, and everybody came back locked in. We know we had some letdowns over our non-conference play. And over the break, you know, I had a conversation with Coach Barnell asking him what I can do more to help the team and how can I be a better leader. And he just simply told me that I just need to get rest and reboot and recharge and make sure the guys come back focused and ready to attack games differently.
You know, it's interesting because in watching you guys play the NC State game and then, you know, seeing the Carolina game and certainly the other night against Duke, and I'm not telling you you've cut, you know, uncharted waters here, but, you know, a game like Carolina, the next game, typically a Clemson team might not be able to validate it. You know what I mean? You guys went out there the other night and then validated Carolina by beating another team, in fact, probably a lot better team in Duke. What does that say about you guys, Amir, as much as it says about who you're playing?
I think our identity as a team, you know, has kind of been thrown around in different ways. You know, some people thought that we couldn't finish games. Some people figured that we couldn't find ways to win. And, you know, people didn't really know that about us because over in Italy, I think our last three games on our road to the gold medal, we had to come back from 10-point, 20-point deficits, and it just showed like the characteristics of our team and how we have that grit. And it's something that we put inside of our system every day is like never giving up, playing the full 40. And I think, like I said, coming back from Christmas break, we just took time to like learn from it and see what we can do differently. And everyone's been locked in every practice, and it's starting to show up on the court.
Amir, is it true that after you guys knocked off North Carolina for the first time ever, that you got a text from Dabo Swinney? Is that true?
Yes. Dabo had texted me, and our president had texted me congratulating me on the big win, and that I need to keep finding ways to push these guys, and but not to do all the situation, and just find ways to keep pushing.
And we saw the video of the celebration with Brownell and all you guys in the locker room, but that trip coming back from Chapel Hill had to be one for the ages.
My freshman year, when we came back to beat Florida and Ohio State on the road, and usually the plane rides would be quiet even after key wins, but on the way back, it was very loud. Everyone was talkative. I don't think anybody went to sleep. Everyone was just having a good time, joking around, and it was just a great feeling for our teammates to finally have.
You know, I think one of the things that sometimes even, you know, folks in the media or analysts who follow the league on a regular basis don't quite understand is the impact that Coach Brownell has had. Not only did, you know, he become Clemson's winningest coach all time the other night. The other thing, Amir, that has always struck me, especially I think in your 4 years there and seeing you guys play, is the player development that goes on and the relationship you guys have with a guy like Coach Brownell. I mean, he's your coach. I get that part. But it seems to be a pretty good connection for everybody on that roster, not just guys who, you know, are playing the minutes and that kind of thing.
Most definitely. Coach Parnell goes out of his way to kind of make that connection with us and also with the development aspect of it. You know, we spend a lot of work and a lot of time on the fundamentals of our game and playing together and just finding out the basics of everything. And he spends at least 30 minutes in the beginning of practice working on that. So we always can go back to our fundamentals when things get close in the game and down the stretch. And he always likes to emphasize the importance of execution. And without execution, you got to have the fundamental aspect of it. And he's really been big on that. And everyone's been buying into it, and it's starting to show. Like, the fruits of our labor are starting to show on the court, like, down the stretch.
All right, now I asked you about this during the break, and I want to get some clarity on this. On your Twitter feed, by the way, your Twitter handle is Earl Schmitty, which I have no idea what that is. And you're going to have to tell me, is that some Palmyra thing, or is that, you know, something you crafted on your own? Now, the picture on your Twitter feed in your profile window is Brad Brownell wearing a sailor cap looking at some sort of cruise brochure. What in the world? Where did you get that?
Well, it was Christmas morning, and I was strolling on Instagram, and I had came across his wife's page, and she had a picture of him on Christmas with the hat on, and I was like, man, this is golden. I got to get this screenshot, and I saved it, and I didn't know when I was going to change it. And then it hit me last night when I came across it again. It was the perfect time to show the world the real Brad Brownell that they don't see on TV.
I love it. By the way, you mentioned Italy, and that's been a kind of a running theme on this show for a while, even before we started doing the TV deal.
Yeah.
How cool was that trip? I mean, not only do you win the world championship, and you won all those close games. After all the frustration last year, you couldn't figure out a way to close. You guys were spectacular overseas. What did you gain from that experience, and how have you been able to incorporate it so far for the 2019-20 season?
Well, like you say, you know, a lot of it is like in our history with close games, and I think over in Italy, we had a lot of guys that was willing to make the extra pass or get the winning rebound or take the big shot, and, you know, everyone was ready to do so, and we were all selfless players and just wanted to see everybody succeed. So, like, that was a big thing for us, and like I said earlier, Coach Brownell is really big on execution down the stretch. And when it came down to it over in Italy, when we needed those big stops or big scores, everyone was bought into it and everyone was locked in. And it just showed up when we were in Italy, and that kind of like brought it, that kind of carried over. Now it's definitely starting to show with late game situations when we need a big stop and we need a big score, or rebound, and put the game away. It's starting to come back from Italy, and we're all starting to reminisce on what we did over there to accomplish a goal, and it's starting to fire us up and motivate us even more.
I know you had young guys over there. I know Tevin is a transfer from Alabama, was playing. Alamir played. You know, you guys lost Clyde, unfortunately, right before the trip, and also Bear. But the benefit to them to go through that experience last summer and then to go through November, December, and now have some success. You've been through that. What do you think it means to them as you guys get into mid-January?
It's just one word I can think of is perseverance and also grit, matter of fact. You know, it's like a long journey for us. And, you know, we got to keep hammering at the nails, something he likes to emphasize as well. And I think it just showed, like, the nature of our team, that we're very young. We do have three older players, but we're very young in spite of that. You know, it doesn't matter our age. You know, everyone, as long as you're bought into the process and everyone buys into the plan, that it's going to work out in the long run and that we just got to keep fighting every day. And I don't think we've had a full practice this year where we've had everybody on our team practicing because someone has been injured almost every time. So, like, people are starting to see what we can produce, but they haven't even seen the full nature of our team because we haven't had everyone back. And that's when it's going to get a little bit more scarier for everyone watching us, you know, even next year coming in when we have a full team that's going to be able to play and that's healthy. So it's just been a big thing for us, you know, just seeing that perseverance, facing adversity all year long, even back in summer. And I think once we have our full team back, everyone will see what Clemson can produce.
All right, one more thing for me, and then Packer has to ask you the obligatory question we have on this show. And since we had show 100 yesterday, you're going to be the first person in the new century of shows to answer the question. But I'm going to call on you since you've already told us that Dabo and the president texted you after, and we had President Clemens on the show Monday from New Orleans. Since they've texted you, and I know you're now connected throughout the entire campus of Clemson, do you have any late-breaking news on Travis Etienne or A.J. Terrell or any of those guys you want to bring us up to speed on? Maybe you want to just Amir Sims reports type thing. Are you good?
Well, unfortunately, I don't know. I've been trying to pick it out of them guys myself, you know, been snapping them and texting them, trying to figure out their next move so I can prepare my heartbreak or I can celebrate with them guys for returning. So I've been trying to figure out myself, but as of right now, I do not know any additional information.
All right. Hopefully you can answer this question. The toughest class that you've had at Clemson University is what?
The toughest class? I want to say American Sign Language because that is very challenging. When you can't speak and all you can use is your hands and facial gestures, it's really challenging to kind of
reciprocate.
American Sign Language.
American Sign Language. Hey, I tell you what, love watching you play. Appreciate you doing this. Look forward to having you back sometime, maybe before the end of the year. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
All right.
Good kid right there.
Amir Sims.
Good player.
Oh, yeah. And talk about, you know, undersized big who steps to the perimeter. A real key cog in what Brad Brownell and his team have been able to do. And as you said, critical game tomorrow in Raleigh.
And for really both of them. But, you know, Clemson's the perfect example right now of what I was just talking about 20 minutes ago. Somebody catching fire. You know, because let's be honest, 2 weeks ago when Yale is rolling in the Little John and beating those guys and lose to South Carolina at home, you're thinking, man, Clemson's going nowhere fast.
Right.
Right? And then all of a sudden, the game that you do, they play extremely well, look good doing it, score points, doing their thing, beat NC State, they knock off North Carolina for the first time, beat Duke Tuesday night and look like the better team.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm talking about with the glob. You know, who is going to get hot in the next month and start putting it together that you may not even see it coming? But, hey, we'll see where it goes. That's a really big game tomorrow in Raleigh.
Let me offer you this part, too. We don't really know what a 20-game schedule looks like in this league.
That's true.
I mean, we have markers on 16. We have markers on 18. We don't have markers on 20. I mean, you look at this, and I was, you know, cobbling together some notes last night. You've got teams, only one team has played seven games so far in conference play, and that's Georgia Tech. Okay? I mean, we still got 14 games left to go for most of this league. And in the case of Carolina, 15 games.
Well, and as David Teal pointed out, and right on the money, the league being down, where do you get the quality wins? Mm-hmm. In the past, you could always count on 8 or 9 ACC teams being top 50 or whatever in the first quadrant. You hear people talking about that stuff all the time. It's a little different now. So it makes it incredibly important to win the kind of games you're going to see on the schedule tomorrow in the ACC, with the exception of Louisville and Duke, because that is a marquee game. Everybody else, these are incredibly important games. You've got to start lining up some W's, Wes.
Well, and the other part that Dan Bonner has brought up on the air with me last Saturday night in Boston, and something that I know he'll talk about as the season goes on, is, and he sees this because of his years of following college basketball, and in particular this league, he talks about the fact that there are not great resumes from the teams in the middle. Virginia Tech's win over Michigan State in Maui looks really good,
sure,
and
does.
It's going to hold up all the way through the season. But when you start going through Syracuse, Clemson, NC State's got to win at Wisconsin, which certainly helps, Boston College, Virginia, Georgia Tech, you know, go find some wins. Go find those Q1s that are going to have some impact.
Yep.
A lot of that has to come from in the league. So when you get down to splitting hairs on Selection Sunday or in the postseason and things like that, yeah, it may require a team in Greensboro who has to play not Tuesday but Wednesday getting to Friday.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's why if you're into this bracketology, which I still think it's a bit early, that's why you see a lot of times ACC only three teams. See, it's precisely why you only see three. Now, I think there will be more than three in the ACC, from the ACC and the NCAA tournament. But, again, you got to start winning some ball games, man.
Yep.
It's January now. It's not November.
No, mid-January.
Yep.
And the calendar's moving fast.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Right now, we're going to go to Mr. Cool now. He has got it going on down there in Tallahassee. No surprise to us. Let's bring him on. Leonard Hamilton, head basketball coach at Florida State. There he is, looking dapper, 37 years of age, and still doing it down there in Tallahassee. Coach, how are you?
Well, you know, they say you have to fake it till you make it.
That's our deal. I tell you what, your team's playing well. That was a really important win against Virginia, the way you guys were grinding down the stretch. That was impressive.
Well, that's kind of the way we've been all year long, you know, losing six players like we did last year and trying to reacclimate everyone to each other and get everyone in sync. Then we've had, like most schools this time of year, we've had a rash of injuries where we've had a lot of guys coming and going. I feel very fortunate to be where we are while we're still trying to learn how to play together. And also, you know, while we're still trying to synchronize ourselves with our talent and our system.
Coach, when you get a game like the other night, a hard-fought ACC game, and you get guys just to show you their own individual growth, and Devin Vassell the other night hit a big shot late. I mean, it was still a two-possession game, but he pushed it to the max. And Devin Vassell hit a big three against Virginia last year in the ACC tournament, and it seems his trajectory has just been going north since then.
Well, he's a fine youngster, great teammate. He is becoming more and more of a leader on our basketball team. He's vocal. He's knowledgeable. He asks a lot of questions. He's a sponge. He's connected. You know, our culture, it seems to be growing more and more, and I really like the direction these guys seem to be moving in.
Coach, what do you like about this team this year better than you did last year?
Well, I'm not real sure I like this team any better than I did last year. I think this team is driven as a result of the growth of last year's team and the challenge that we had. We finished the season on a bitter note. We thought last year would be our year. We were the only one in the country thought that we could do that. But unfortunately, Phil Kofler playing three straight games in the ACC tournament, really created so much pressure on his, you know, always reoccurring ankle that he could not play anymore. And he came back as a fifth-year student to participate in the NCAA tournament and hopefully put us in a position to get to the Final Four and have a chance to win a national title. And David transferred, Nichols transferred from Albany to Florida State as a graduate student because he wanted to have an opportunity to participate in the NCAA tournament, a 22- and a 23-year-old guys. So we end up trading them, seniors, veterans, for freshmen, and we were not quite matured enough and experienced enough, you know, to play, be at our very, very best. So we've carried that empty feeling in our stomach around all year, and so this team is coming back motivated as a result of feeling like we left something on the table last year.
But yet it's, and we talk about teams and we talk about programs, right? I mean, you have a team in 18-19, you have a team in 19-20, but you also have a program now. You have a program that is built on depth, that is built on defense. It's built on all the pillars you've put in place. But your program now is starting to be one of those year in, year out things. I mean, you know, it's amazing. Pac and I got caught in this early in the year when we talk about the brands, the household names. And Dan Bonner said, hey, wait a second now, don't forget Florida State. And here we are in mid-January, and your program is doing Florida State again. You're doing exactly what you want in terms of showcasing players and developing another great team. Does it feel like a program, or does it feel like a team now?
Well, we felt all along that we should be considered to be a program that's consistently at the elite level. However, when you're in a conference like the ACC, we have some of the most rich, traditional, successful basketball programs ever assembled in the history of college basketball, it's hard to crack what they call the blue blood status because maybe we don't necessarily have sometimes all of the predicted one-and-dones or McDonald All-Americans or what have you. And so we don't have that. That's not how we built. We built a program that wins games by committee and without necessarily having the established superstars coming in the door. And sometimes you don't get that early. You don't attract the early attention. Mm-hmm. And you use that to motivate you. You just keep working and keep grinding and trying to overcome that status. It's so hard, you know, to crack that upper echelon of perceived rich traditional blue bloods, you might say. But that's okay. You know, what we want to do is just keep grinding and concern ourselves with that which we can control. And our guys are in a good mental place, and they're motivated by the fact that sometimes we're always fighting for exposure and notoriety and necessarily respect.
All right, speaking of notoriety and respect, you beat Virginia. Jordan Cornette's on the game. As the game ends, you're shaking hands with Tony Bennett, and I hear on the television on ACC Network, Jordan Cornette says, "There you go, boys. Florida State is the best team in the Atlantic Coast Conference." Is he right?
Wow. Well, I'm not real sure you can decide that in the middle of January. That's one thing that's good about our league, that sometimes we identify greatness with names of individuals on teams. But I want to remind you, you know, Syracuse finished 9-9 and went to the Final Four.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to judge. You can't judge where we are. I know sometimes it's good for you guys to have talking points. But I guarantee you, the league is so tough, well-coached, with tremendous talent, tremendous talent throughout each team. At the end of the day, you're going to find that we'll be well-represented at the end of the year in the NCAA tournament. Just mark my word.
You're right about that, but are you going to be comfortable, though, if we keep saying, hey, Florida State this weekend plays Miami, Florida State's the best team in the league? You're good with that, though, right?
And listen, I don't have to get caught up in that. You know what I mean? That's right. For you guys to judge. You know, one thing good about college basketball, you can't just talk it. You got to walk it.
That's it.
And there's no doubt that you have a chance in college basketball to prove who you are day in, day out. It's going to be only one team going to stand on that podium with a finger up saying that I'm number one. And we all are fighting for that elusive position. Nobody stands and says I'm number four. Nobody stands and says I'm number five. So there's no doubt in my mind that our kids are driven by the fact that we are playing some of the most elite programs ever assembled in the history of college basketball, which keeps us motivated. And we can't concern ourselves with those things which we can't control. Sometimes it's just a conversation, what people say about you, because in basketball, night in and night out, especially in ACC, you get to prove where you belong.
Yeah, the finish line is not in the middle of January, Coach. You're right about that. Right about that.
You like the player development, and I'm thinking about guys like Osborne and Williams, and even, I'm going to throw Anthony Polite in there because that's a guy that's really come on. I know he redshirted early, got some moments a year ago, but really a young man who I think is now, what, almost 20 minutes a ball game, it seems like, and really hit some big shots for you the other night. I mean, I look at the player development because I know you always talk about how valuable your staff is to what you're building there. And I'm looking at guys that are really stepping forward. I'll throw Raekwon Gray in there too, Coach.
Well, there's no doubt that I'm very fortunate to have quality guys on my staff. There's no doubt that we wouldn't be where we are, you know, without the quality of the ability of our staff to really continue to keep working with our kids. Stan Jones been with me almost, 24 years. CY Young, gosh, I recruited him out of high school. He turned me down. I keep reminding him of that. Mike Bradley, my weight training and conditioning coach, been with me over 20 years. And Steve Smith is a young man that we just hired from Clemson that I got a tremendous amount of respect for. So we really, really have a staff that I think really relates well to our players. We have great culture, great relationships, and they're always in the gym working on the little things that I think in order to give the kids the confidence. That's one of the things that I liked about the game the other night against Virginia. We maintained our poise. Our guys never panicked. Mm-hmm. And even the shots that they missed from the perimeter, they shot with confidence. Now, we've won games going 1 of 17 from 3. And then the other night, I think we made a shot. Might have made 8, I believe. But we potentially could be a really good shooting team. And I want to add that, but we still got a lot of areas of our game that we need to improve. We got to get to the foul line more. You know, I've never won a game only shooting 8 free throws. That was kind of challenging the other night. But neither one of us shot a lot of free throws. But I like this team, and the unique thing about it that we lost 6 players. We're still learning. We're still growing. Hmm. We have not necessarily dominated anyone, but we found ways to win close games, and hopefully we're growing and maturing as a result of the wisdom you gain from those tough games.
That's what good teams do. That's what good coaching does. All right, before we let you run, Wes and I are always bragging about the style and the panache that you bring to the game. Is there a game plan with you in terms of your tie work I mean, because you always got that sucker down unknotted before this thing gets up. Do you have a game plan based on, hey, you got Miami tomorrow. It's a big game. Those two don't like each other. So give me the lowdown of how Leonard Hamilton pulls off the look. That's the question.
Well, I really don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
but I
yeah you do. Yeah, come you on. Do.
There,
come
are times, on. There are times in the game where I actually feel like I have a big pot of boiling water sitting right under my chin, you know. I'll be trying to loosen up a little bit, you know what I mean, just to try to get a little relief. On the road, I don't wear coats and ties because I get tired of trying to iron my shirts, okay? I don't want to walk out and not represent. So I'm more comfortable on the road. But somehow or another, when I'm at home, that tie get twisted and turned, and sometimes it's very interesting the comments that my wife gives me when I come home. Like, can't you do something? And that's really cool right there.
Yeah, there
how about
go.
Saint Nick now?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Saint Nick is dunking that ball now. That's a clip. He's a bad man. hey, did you guys see our Christmas carol?
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Did you guys see?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see our Christmas carol song?
Yes,
you know,
sir.
I wanted to sing part of the Christmas carol, but I thought Wes might be jealous.
Hey, look here now. You're the one in the music business. Don't be cutting me out of this. I don't need to be involved in all that, right?
I love it.
Oh, man, well, you're unbelievable.
I love gospel music.
I know that.
Well, listen, man, you guys are doing a great job with the show. I'm just a little concerned is why I don't ever get invited. You know, I kind of like to hang out with you guys sometimes.
Hey, now, wait a second. Hold up. You're from Gastonia. This show's in Charlotte. Don't act like you don't know how to get here.
And let's get something straight, too, Leonard. The night you received the key to Gastonia, I presented it to you. So let's not pretend like you don't know the back roads.
Come on
here.
Now.
That door's got your name written.
Who
you
are
can
you
come
playing
walking
in this?
Through here and sit right here anytime you want.
Come on now.
You know, I don't get a chance to visit my friends and family in Gastonia nearly as much as I would like to now that most of my family has moved away. Hmm. But I have a lot of fond memories of the gas house. Highland High School.
Yeah.
I'm a Highland High School Ram.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. They have this little period in the calendar called the off season, and you're more than welcome to come through here and spend an hour or two with us if you want to, and we're going to chop it up. Because even though you look 38, we got enough years that we can go back on to chop it up, okay?
Well, you know, I've watched you guys periodically, and you guys do a great job representing all the schools. And I'm really, really excited about where the ACC network is going. There's no doubt that this is something that's been needed. Hmm. You guys are covering a lot of sports, and you're doing a great job. And you ought to be congratulated for that. And our commissioner has done a great job of bringing this to fruition.
Well, take care, my man. Good luck tomorrow in Coral Gables. We'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.
All right, Leonard Hamilton. Unbelievable.
He's a great man.
He's the best.
He is Mr. Cool now.
Yep. Seminoles are 5-1, three-way tie for first with Duke and Louisville. And when we come back,
we've got some other things to talk about. I want to say one thing.
All right.
I thought his answer to the question when he's talking about, hey, in terms of the notoriety, the blue bloods and all that stuff, mm-hmm. make no mistake, what he has built in Tallahassee, he's in that conversation, and he downplayed that answer to perfection.
Sure.
And he's 1,000% right. You know what? You don't crown the champion in January.
Yep.
But they have a chance. They really do.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
You know, we just had Leonard Hamilton on. We have not unveiled this yet because I told you I was going to wait till there's a larger sample size. But one of the things that Coach mentioned a second ago was he can't remember ever winning a game only shooting 8 free throws. He mentioned Virginia didn't shoot many either.
Right.
And he wanted to get their team back to the line more. He said,
sure.
We got to get back to the free throw line. Well, the infamous ACC index card.
Which is really a sheet of paper now.
Well, it is
now. Because
there
are 15 schools.
Right. Will eventually become the index card. And we haven't unveiled this yet, but we will in February, I promise. But for Leonard Hamilton, Florida State fans, and everybody else, as far as ACC competition goes, right now, Florida State and NC State are at a negative 32 from the free throw line in terms of attempts. That would be the worst in the league, meaning that when they play an ACC team, the ACC opponents have shot 32 more free throws than they have combined. So and NC Florida, State, Florida State at the very bottom of that list.
Florida State played six games, so opponents are averaging almost five more free throw attempts per game.
So when coach says, hey, one of the things we need to do is get back to the line more often, the index card does not lie. I keep telling you, it's just a number. Don't get upset with it. It is what it is.
And it moves.
Every game
yeah,
it moves.
It moves.
So
Florida one State, to 15, NC State. Right? Yep. Who's number one, by the way, just for fun?
From free throw attempts?
Yeah.
Who would you guess?
Duke.
Virginia Tech.
Oh, yeah.
Hokies are a plus 21.
Well, they've played six games.
The top three in the league for the positive on free throw attempts would be Virginia Tech at 21, Louisville at 16, Syracuse at 15.
Wow.
So those are your top three. The bottom three, Florida State, NC State tied, and then right behind them, Georgia Tech. Josh Pastner, who we mentioned the index card to the other day.
And he offered no comment.
He offered no comment because he wanted to keep his cash.
That's it.
Which makes sense, don't we all?
Which is also what Jeff Capel said Tuesday night. He wanted to keep his cash.
He didn't want to comment on officiating. I just say, let somebody else deal with it. Let Packer and Durham deal with it.
Very quickly here, I want to update you on something that, in my opinion, does not get enough exposure during the course of the academic year. And it is the Learfield IMG College Directors Cup. And this is something that's done annually, and it encompasses all the sports.
Now, men and women.
Men and women, and it figures a point tally based on their overall success. And what it does is it incorporates that point total at the end to give a school the Learfield IMG College Directors Cup Championship. And it's a crystal ball, and it's a gorgeous piece of hardware. I tell you this to then offer this caveat. Typically, this goes to schools that have a lot of sports.
Right.
Okay? So if a school offers, let's say, less than 20 sports, it's rare that they're in the Learfield IMG College Directors Cup standings.
You'd be at a disadvantage.
You'd be at a disadvantage.
Doesn't mean you can't have great success,
but it
gives you less chances to acquire more points.
Give you an example. A handful of years ago, Georgia Tech finished in the top 25 with only 18 sports, which was really good.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah, really good. So I show you the graphic, and we bring up the total here. Look at the ACC has got four in the top 10. Now, certainly some of that has to do with the soccer successes and things like that. Virginia, Louisville, Notre Dame, Duke, and then you go to Carolina. It's Virginia, Louisville, Notre Dame, Carolina. You see Duke is at the back end with Wake and Pittsburgh, and I'll mention Wake Forest again, small number of sports offered by the Deacons, relatively speaking. Syracuse, 27. Look at all the schools in the top 30, if you will, Pack, and then three more right there. Look at all the schools in the top 50, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, we got 13 in the top 43. And
right.
Again, it's still a small sample size in terms of sports,
right,
but it goes to show you the league's off to a pretty good start. And, you know, we had Commissioner Swofford on yesterday celebrating the 100th show. And, you know, the ACC with field hockey, national championship with North Carolina, both, you know, the men's and women's soccer national mm-hmm. championship games involved an ACC team. And, of course, Monday night, Clemson was playing for football. So the league, again, continues to be consistently good and well-rounded.
And I know the athletic directors follow this. And, again, they have the reason I understand the philosophy of the number of sports you offer as an institution is because one time I got a little bit of a math lesson with an AD on how this cup works. And it's presented in conjunction with the National Collegiate Athletic Directors, National Association of Collegiate Directors of Athletic, better known as NACDA. And USA Today is also involved as well. We'll keep you updated as we move through the academic year. Now, let's go from the real to the sublime.
So we've gone from infamous ACC index card.
To the real.
To the Director's Cup. And now you're taking me somewhere else.
I'm going to take you to the land of the bizarre.
All right.
And yesterday, Mike Bianchi.
Yeah, I know Mike.
Right?
I know. He's crazy.
Yeah, he is crazy. Well, what he said yesterday in the Orlando Sentinel is completely crazy. He told Trevor Lawrence, who's not eligible till next year for the NFL draft, to go play in the XFL yesterday.
Oh, sure. No problem. That makes a ton of sense.
Which is a
said
half
nobody
step,
except Mike Bianchi.
Which is a half step beyond a business guy telling people he wasn't going to play at all.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that guy.
Yeah.
That moron.
So there you go.
How's that working out? That's the same. Wasn't that the same idiot that said, I think he said that Tua would be back and Trevor Lawrence would not. And that was a hot take. How's that working out?
So how do we
write some more bad checks?
I mean, just so we're all living in this breathable world of craziness. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, who said after the game the other night, by the way, love college football, may play as long as I can. Some of my best friends are there. We've got a great program. Clemson's a great school.
I don't even know why it's a topic. I said it last week in New Orleans.
Right.
That, you know, he's already made it pretty clear that he loves Clemson. He's coming back for his next season, and that's the end of it. But, you know, some people are either stupid or can't listen or have an agenda. And so, hey, take it from the man himself. Yeah. He's going to be playing football in Death Valley next year.
So there you go.
End of story.
You like that?
I mean, I don't I mean,
covering
really,
a wide spectrum here.
Apparently, it must have been a slow news day in the Orlando Sentinel. And Mike's a good dude. I like him.
I like
a lot.
Mike too, but he'd been known to.
He'd been wrong on that.
Throw one or two crazies out there.
All of us have been.
All right. When we come back, Power Hour.
Oh, is that what that was?
Power Hour.
Is that West Durham sign language?
Power Hour. Oh, sure. Why not? Amir Sims introduced Go Pack or
That's
Go
the
Tigers.
First, that is the first time we've had sign language for that question.
And we're going to start the Power Hour. Fill in the blank.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.